Luke chapter 18. This thing got a problem. In Luke chapter number 18, I've did several messages out of this chapter right here. Some things that caught my interest as I was reading in the book of Luke here is Jesus is now heading toward the cross and heading toward Jerusalem there to lay down his life for lost mankind. And we looked at some thoughts that he gave before he made it to Jerusalem here. He told us some things it would be like as the days of Noah and the days of Lot. And then he says that in chapter number 18, he gives a command that men ought always to pray and to faint not. So we saw a command that was made there, and as we read on, we saw a confessing man, the sinner that smote his breast and asked God to be merciful to him, a sinner. Then we looked at the thought of child management, where he commands that children should be brought to him. Then we looked at a concerned man where the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And I want to look at some things that Jesus said to him and then read a little further tonight in the Word of God and give you some thoughts from this passage of Scripture. He asked Christ in verse number 18, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Then in verse number 22, Jesus had something to say to him. He said, yet lackest thou one thing, speaking about the commandments he said he kept. He said, sell all that thou hast and distribute it unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And here, listen to what he said. He said, and come, follow me. We know that this rich young ruler went away sad because the Bible says he had great possessions. And then we want to read on down just a little further. His disciples said in verse 26, he said, who can be saved? And he said, these things are impossible with men, are possible with God. And here's where I want to really pick up tonight, in verse 28. He says, then Peter said, lo, we've left all and followed thee. He's looking back and reflecting upon what the Lord Jesus told the rich young ruler, to come and follow me. You see, what he did to this rich young ruler, he was demanding that he make a commitment. And he wasn't willing to do that. He wanted eternal life, which was a wise thing. But when Christ put him on the spot to make a commitment to come follow him, he wasn't willing to do that. Can I tell you tonight that the Lord Jesus is looking for a commitment out of folks? What we need in the day and hour that we live, we need commitments. Commitments from saved people. He says this right here. Peter says, lo, we've left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there's no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Christ promises a reward for those that will commit to Him. And then, He took unto Him the 12, and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. They shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. Now I want to call your attention to verse number 31. He says, then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. Christ was revealing His total commitment to them. His total commitment to the cross. As they wanted to know what their reward would be for following Him, Christ now presented a cross to them. He presented to them His passion, His the way that He was going to go and give His life a ransom for many, and yet they understood it not. Now, I want you to notice this call to commitment. Christ is calling you and I to commitment tonight. I know we live in a busy day today. Things are different from what it was when our forefathers come up in this old world. We got a lot of things going on in our lives today. We got a lot of things that we can be committed to in life today to draw us away from the things of God. Now, when our forefathers came up, they had 40 acres and a mule maybe and a house with a roof over their head and a garden. And, you know, they didn't have to deal with television and all the things of the world. And it was a different day. And it was probably a lot easier for them to make a commitment to Christ in that day. I remember when my grandmother and grandfather, when I was just a little boy in their house, they didn't have a television. They did have electric lights. They didn't have a refrigerator. And they were poor. They had a well inside the house, and the way they kept their milk and things cool, they let it down in a basket down in the well to keep stuff cool. And you know what? When Sunday rolled around, they could not wait to get to church. And that was their entertainment, so to speak. That was the joy of their life. Life was hard, and they was poor. And they enjoyed the things of God. They enjoyed going to church and worshiping the Lord. You know, they were looking for a better place. And they went on to their reward one day. And they're in that place that God had prepared for them. But I'm concerned in the day that we live about our commitment to the cause of Christ. God is looking for Christians today to make a commitment to the cause of Christ in the day that we live. You can take a church that's got 500 people, and I guarantee you there's just a handful of people that's willing to work. Amen? Amen. You can take a church with 500 people, and there'll be just a very few people. I'm just going by what the Holy Ghost has given me right now. There'll be very few people that are really praying people. Listen to me now. Just examine your own life right now. How's your prayer life? Are you committed to pray every day for your church family, for the sick, for your pastor? Think about your commitment tonight. Jesus is looking for some committed people. In the day that we live, in the day and in hour when Christ could return at any time, we ought to be the most committed people in the world today. There's so many people that are dying and going to hell every day. We're too busy with the things of the world to make a commitment to do something about it. God help us. You see, in a call to commitment, Jesus called this young man in verse number 18 up there. He called him to make a commitment. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? As Christ said, He laid out these things. He said, then come and follow me. Come, make a commitment. Follow me. Peter asked the question down there, lo, we've left all and followed thee. You remember when Peter and Andrew was on the seashore there casting out a net, Jesus come walking by. They were fishing. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. The Bible says that they forsook all and followed Him. They made a commitment. Commitment. You know, it takes faith to make a commitment to Christ. Faith. Faith to believe that a man must be born again or he'll not see the kingdom of God. Faith to believe that if we'll pray and if we'll give ourselves to Christ and the cause of Christ, that He'll use us for His kingdom's work and glory here on earth. Faith. Faith is a substance that we must have. If we're going to make a commitment to Christ, I'd say
if we're not willing to make a commitment to Christ, then it's a showing of our lack of faith. Little old kids in here a while ago, they need some people that's committed to keep Liberty Baptist Church, keep the fire of God going at Liberty Baptist Church. Amen. They need parents that's committed, that's faithful, that they could look at their life one day when they grow up, they could look back and see, Mom and Daddy was faithful. Mom and Daddy was Christians. Mom and Daddy was dedicated to the church and the things of God. In the day in which we live, they folks are trying to give their kids everything in the world but faith. They need a foundation of faith. And they need parents that are faithful. You see, this call to commitment, it takes faith, and it also takes forsaking. Amen. We have to be willing to forsake some things. If we're going to commit to Christ and put Him first in our life, then there's going to be some times when you have to separate yourself from the things of this world if you're going to be committed to Christ. He told this rich young ruler, go and sell all that you have, distribute to the poor, and come follow me. Wow. That was too much for him. That was a commitment he wasn't willing to make. You see, he was committed to his things. Christ, Jesus wasn't really wanting him to go sell everything that he had and live in poverty and come follow him, but he was wanting him to see how far would he go. How far was he willing to go? How much of a commitment was he willing to make? You know, as a Christian, God's blessed us so much. He's given us so much. We owe Him everything. We're debtors to the grace of God. Debtors to the grace of God. And we ought to be thankful. And if He asks us to do something, if there's somebody sick in the hospital or somebody that just, I don't know, maybe need to drop by their house and say something to them, we ought to be willing to do it. We ought to be that committed to the cause of Christ. And I'll tell you something else, too. You don't have to have somebody to push you. The Holy Ghost will push you if you're His. He'll let you know what you need to do and what you don't need to do. But a lot of times we grieve Him because we're too sorry to keep our commitment. See, it takes faith and it takes a forsaking and it takes a following. Follow me. Well, where we're going. Amen. What would Jesus have me to do? You know, if Christ called somebody to follow Him, He told Peter and Andrew, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They didn't know what in their world was going on. They didn't have a clue. But they were willing to follow. Wherever Christ leads. You see, sometimes in the ministry, we get scared. When we're asked to do something, when God urges us to go to a hospital and visit somebody or somebody that's bereaved or different things that we might be asked to do, you know, be brave. Be courageous. Get some guts. Because Jesus said, follow me. We don't have to go by ourselves. We don't have to do anything in the ministry by ourselves. He's with us. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. Come and follow me. It's a call to commitment. And we ought to be committed in the day that we live to the cause of Christ. This world is going away one of these days, just like they were singing a while ago. One of these days we're going to be called out of here. We're going to be called out. And we better make, you know, some preparations. And we ought to be doing things for the cause of Christ while we're here. While we have strength and life and ability to do it. It's a call to commitment. It's a cause with a cause. A cause. First of all, I want you to notice there's souls. When he told Peter and Andrew, I'll make you fishers of men, he was interested in the souls of mankind. These are little kids that come up here. They have a soul that's going to spend an eternity somewhere one day. Each one of us that's in this audience today, we're either heading to heaven or we're heading to hell. It's that simple. Our soul. When our heart beats this last time and we draw our last breath, friend, this soul's going to depart this body. We're going to be with the Lord. And I hope everybody in here is ready for that day. It's a call with a cause. We ought to be interested in the souls of lost people. Amen? I've got lost loved ones. Brother Jerry, every time I pray, sometimes I pray and I ask the Lord to come back. And there's something hits me in my heart when I pray that prayer. And my lost loved ones come to my mind. And I begin to pray for them. Ask God to have mercy on them. Ask God to draw them the way He did me. Though I'd like to see the Lord come today, because I'm ready. And yet I look out at the millions and millions of people that's lost and undone. The Lord's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And He needs committed Christians that's willing to share the old story, to tell others what Christ has done for them. It's a simple thing. I've told you before, God used a black man to hand me a gospel tract one day after I cursed him. And you know what? He cared for my soul. He cared for my soul. And God used a little old gospel tract to bring me under conviction, begin working in my life to get me to Him. Just a little old simple gospel tract. He didn't preach a big sermon to me. Just cared. He was committed. Committed to do what He could for the souls of man. The souls of the call with a cause. Souls. In this fast-paced world we live in today, we lose track of the things of God. Have you ever been in a ball game or somewhere in a big audience of people and the thought just comes to you, I wonder how many of them saved? I have. Lots of times. Or maybe in a shopping mall or somewhere, maybe in a Walmart, you look around and wonder how many people really are so truly saved. It ought to burden our heart for lost souls. You see, I mention it again, a call with a cause, the souls and the sacrifices. We must be willing to sacrifice some things of this old world. Put Christ first. But then there's satisfaction when we really get in the will of God and doing God's will in our life and totally committed to the cause of Christ. There's a satisfaction about it. You know if you're in the will of God tonight. You know if you're worldly. You know if you're carnal. You know if you're spiritual tonight. And I promise you, if you can say that I'm in perfect will of God, I'm in perfect fellowship with Him, I know there's a satisfaction about that. I've been on both sides of the fence. I know how miserable you can be when you're out of the will of God. And I know how peaceful it is and satisfying it is to be in the will of God. And He would have us in this cause to be in the will of God and enjoy the good rewards of the ministry. You know, I don't know. It's not a burden for me to come to church. It's a joy for me to be in church. I look forward to coming to church. I look forward to hearing preaching. I look forward to hearing singing and having fellowship with the saints of God and just enjoying the things of God. It's rewarding. Rewarding. Then on the other side, if I'm out of the will of God, it's a burden for me to come to church. Amen? It's a burden if I'm out of the will of God to come to church and I can sit right here on the front row and the preacher can preach, singers can sing, people can pray. If I'm out of the will of God, then I just might as well be sitting at home somewhere, I guess. Because I'm not going to enjoy the things of God. You ever been sitting in church and preach a message and you out yonder somewhere in the field somewhere hunting or shopping or trying on a new pair of shoes, you mind? Lord, help us. The Lord's rewards are spiritual. They're eternal. But He also promised right here that there's some things we can enjoy on earth. He says, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. God wants to bless His people. There's a promise right there. To those that will commit to Him, He's going to take care of you. If we'll seek Him and His kingdom first, He said, I'll add everything to you that you need. Amen? And I can tell you right now, He's proved Himself to me. He's given me everything I need. Not everything I want. He had never given me everything I want. There have been some things that I wanted that I got that become a burden to me. I never will forget a message Brother Ken preached years ago. When my blessing becomes a burden. Sometimes God will give us something we want just to show us we didn't really need it to start with. You ever been there? Amen. But here we see a call to commitment, a call with a cause. But thirdly, I want you to notice this. When Christ began to speak about Himself, a commitment to His cross. He was a committed man. He left the glories of heaven to come here to do one thing, and that was to give His life a ransom. To seek and to save that which is lost. Revelation 13 and 8 says He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The cross wasn't a surprise to God, to Christ. It was God's plan, God's purpose to send Jesus into the world to die for you and I. A few things I want to look at here before we close tonight. I want us to look at Old Testament prophecy about His cross. Old Testament prophecy. There's over 100 prophecies throughout the Old Testament about the Lord Jesus Christ. His life, His death, His resurrection, His glory. Isaiah 53 says it very plain. And let's look over there just for a minute. We'll read a few verses out of Isaiah 53. We all know this chapter very well. We know it's about Christ. We know it's about His suffering and how He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He's wounded for our transgressions. He's bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. He goes on speaking about the passion of Christ, what He accomplished there on the cross of Calvary, the great price that He was willing to pay. And the Old Testament laid it out very well. In Psalms chapter 22, it's known as the Psalm of the Cross. That chapter in the Gospels, we have man's account as he looked up at Jesus hanging on the cross. Things that Christ said. But in Psalms 22, we look into the heart of God as He hung upon the cross and what He felt within. As He took our place and He took our sins upon Himself there and died in our stead. You ought to read Psalms 22 sometimes and study that psalm. Look at Old Testament prophecy of His cross, but then another thing, the proving of His cross. As Christ came into this world, one purpose was to go to Calvary and die for the sins of this world. What did that prove? I tell you what it proves to me. It proves to me how much He loved me. It proves to you how much He loved you. It proves to the world how much He loved the world. We can read about where He says that He loves us so much that God sent His only begotten Son into the world to die for us. But in reality, have you ever really looked at the cross and saw that Jesus died there for you? Paid a sin debt for you that you owed and you couldn't pay. It proves to us that God commendeth His love to us in that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. He didn't do it because we deserved it. He did it because He loved us. He paid that debt that we owed. The depths of God's love for fallen mankind. There was none good, no, not one. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek Him. And all had gone astray, the Bible says. All. And yet God loved mankind so much. He wanted to send His Son into this world to die, that we could go free, pay that price. He proved His love on the cross. And then over back in Isaiah 53, the Bible says that it pleased God to bruise Him. In Hebrews chapter number 12, the Bible speaks about the joy that was set before Him, the suffering and the shame that He went through. It was God's joy to bring many sons and daughters into the kingdom of God. What a blessing to know how much God loved us. But then there's the pain of His cross. His cross. He says right here, we go into Jerusalem. And all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For He shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, shall be mocked, spitefully entreated, and spitted on. They shall scourge Him and put Him to death. And on the third day He shall rise again. You remember reading through the Gospels how that Christ was innocent. He knew no sin. Even Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. And yet the Jews cried, crucify Him, crucify Him. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. They rejected Him. And now when they brought Him before Pilate, they cried, crucify. They beat Him. They mocked Him. They scourged Him. The Bible says they plowed deep furrows upon His back. Spit in His face. Smote Him with their fists and their hands. Mocked Him. You saved others, why don't you save yourself? If you be the Christ, why don't you come down? All that He went through, how they beat Him, they belittled Him, mocked Him, scourged Him, spit upon Him, plucked out His beard. They stripped Him of His clothing. He hung in open shame, naked upon the cross. He could have called 10,000 angels to deliver Him from the cross, but He loved us enough to stay there on that cross that day. The pain that He suffered. I'm talking about physical pain. He suffered, I believe, a physical pain as much as any man ever had, maybe more. They crowned Him with thorns to further mock Him. They nailed Him to a cross, hung Him up between two thieves. But that was not the greatest pain, I don't believe. I believe the greatest pain came from His heart. Christ hung alone on the cross there. looking out at those that he'd walked among day by day. Everywhere that Christ went, he did good. Nobody ever come to Jesus with a case that he couldn't solve, that he wasn't willing to solve. Nobody ever came need healing or devils cast out, or no need ever came to Christ where he didn't meet it. Now he's hanging on the cross between two thieves, rejected of mankind. In Psalms 22, the Bible says that his heart was melted within him. Brokenhearted, hanging on a cross. And then darkness came upon the earth as Christ hung upon the cross. He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Can you imagine the heart of Christ, rejected by man, rejected by God? And in that darkness, God laid my sins upon the darling Lamb of God. He that knew no sin was made to be sin for you and for me. Wasn't made to be a sinner, but he was made to be sin. And God judged my sins, and he judged your sins and the sins of the whole world in blackness of darkness there. As Christ hung there. He cried, I thirst. They gave him vinegar. But when I thirsted one day, when I was lost, and I was thirsty for life to get me out of hell, he gave me life. He gave me living water. And he did the same thing for you. I tell you something else that's so amazing too, is the prayer from the cross. Before Jesus died, he looked out. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I see myself so many times as a lost man, sitting on a bar stool or hanging out in a pool room, cursing, carrying on the things of this old world. And I can hear Jesus saying, Father, forgive him. Have mercy on him. And he did. And so now, saved. I can preach about the cross. I can preach about the cross where God laid my sins upon the dear Lamb of God. And it is the power of God. Power of the cross. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. There's a drawing power in the preaching of the cross. There's a drawing power when people can see that God laid the sins of the whole world upon His Son on Calvary's cross. There's a drawing power of the Holy Ghost that can go out and draw lost men, women, boys, and girls to a place of salvation. So I'm glad. I'm glad that I know. I know I'm saved. Because the Lord Jesus lives inside of me. In Matthew 16, the Bible says this, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Christ was so committed to you and me to pay our sin debt. Shouldn't we be committed? Shouldn't we offer ourselves to Him? Commit our lives to following Him. Wherever He'd lead us. We better get our eyes off of things this old world. Life is short. And there's somebody that needs you. somebody that needs you and me to tell them, Jesus saves. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. You don't have to die and go to hell. Amen. I appreciate you being